from tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Friday evening service of May the 26th, 1989, number 4B of the Memorial Day Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris is the teacher for the evening.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Did you get that? You look at their tracks. That's where they've been. Is, you know, look, see where they've been. What kind of tracks did they leave? What did their ministry leave behind? That's what you look for. If they brought havoc everywhere they've ever been, they're probably a wolf in sheep's clothing, aren't they? But if they blessed folks everywhere they went, they're probably authentic, aren't they? You look at his tracks. This reminded my granddaddy was a big man, jolly, right jolly all the way till he died at a ripe old age. And way years ago, back before your automobile was prevalent, you know, well, if some guy did something, that he was a cousin to my granddaddy, I think, or some kin to him, and somebody had done something in the community, and they thought it was this, my granddaddy's cousin or whatever. And the law came with the whole posse and dogs and everything, and way in the night. And they traced they treed at my granddaddy's house. So I woke my granddaddy up, and he come out on the porch, you know, and the sheriff was there. Said, "Well, Jack," said, called his name. "Is he here?" My granddaddy said, "No, he ain't. No, he ain't here." Said, "I hadn't seen him in, you know, I don't know why. What's the matter?" Said, "Well," said, he told my granddaddy what the guy had done. And he said, "We tracked him down." And my granddaddy said, "Well, now, Sheriff, you hadn't tracked him down yet, because when you track him down, he'll be standing in his last tracks." I don't think that he was there, but probably my granddaddy may have known where he was. I know. But when you get him tracked, you just look at his tracks. And track him, and when you get him tracked down, he'll be standing in his last one. But don't pay too much attention to that one. It's them behind that tells what kind of a life that we're, you know, what's all about. What motivates us? You know, every once in a while, I stop and see what's motivating me, because I have to be motivated by the Spirit of God, or it's just, if I have any ulterior motives, well, I'd like to get rid of them. Amen. Yeah. Because just appearance is all God's going to accept. We're in a very serious position here, and all of us. And it's not just a plaything any further. I tell you, the time soon arrives that all they hid can't hide over. Well, what was I telling you? He sends them before the wolves. They don't carry purse or scrip. But anyway, they have, when a company rises up that has the authority, this is such an interesting thing that we have here. Notice, I call this an unduplicated ministry. The ministry of the 70 here. It never, from then until now, this ministry has never been duplicated again. But it is in the process of being duplicated again. These men went out and found that nothing could withstand them. They didn't have any problem with anything, did they? Isn't that their testimony? They had no problem with anything. They never met any demons that resisted them. They just simply obeyed. This, everything was subject to them. Now, there never has been a ministry like that, but there is one in the making now that is like that. And when God, see, that's the way God always does it. He says to Abraham, come and go with me and I'll show you a land that you will be your heritage. And then he showed it to Abraham, but Abraham never owned any of it. That is, no more than a burying plot, did he? He wandered around as a pilgrim, but God had given him all of it. What God forgot to tell him, or didn't feel necessary to tell him, was, I'm going to show it to you, but if you get it, you've got to walk it out. It's kind of like the architect that draws a building site or something in a pine thicket. Now you just got a pine thicket out there. But you purchase the acreage and you got an architect that you give him some idea as to what you want. So you call your board together. He comes in and spreads a scroll. And there's the most beautiful building that you ever seen. Beautiful landscape. Everything is just in place. It's a beautiful place indeed here. But out yonder, where this is going to be, is still just a pine thicket. Rough and nothing. So what he is saying is, here's what you're going to have, but you have to build it. So you look at the picture there and you think, boy, how beautiful that is. So you drive by 6 months later, it's been raining a lot, and the construction people have had to stay shut down. There's machinery bogged down all everywhere out there. Trees fell over on trees, stumps broken off trees, and oh, it looks horrible. It looks worse than it did before you drew the plant. But if you just keep passing, you'll see they'll begin to stir that dirt. And if you'll come by about a year later or so, you'll look out there and sure enough, there it is. Just like that pit was that the guy spread on the scroll, out of the scroll on the table. Look at that landscape. That's what Jesus did here. He said, I'm going to... this is a ministry that has to bring in the consummation of the end of the ages. Now, now, he's raising up this ministry again. So in the 17th chapter, they return, rejoicing. And they said, oh, well, what did they say? They said, the devils are subject unto us. Even the devils are subject. As if, I mean, it's a foregone conclusion that everything else was subject to them. So they say, even the devils were too. Well, he said, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling from heaven. This is a ministry that's going to kick the devil out of the heavenlies, now, if you please. He is a prince of the powers of the air. Does the Bible say so? Bible in Ephesians alone says six times that he is the prince, or the equivalent of the term that he is a prince of the powers of the air. But here is a ministry that's going to kick him out of the heavenlies. Hallelujah. But it's going to take this ministry to do it. And when this ministry comes in, I said I believe this was a projection by Jesus, and he was projecting it to about now. It's about to happen now, I think. And he says, behold, at that time, I'm going to give you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And then he says, you can continue to rejoice because your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All right, nothing. This is immunity. Did I share with you? And I have shared with you, I know, but in I forget when it was. I think it was in 85. In May of 84 or 85, the Lord gave me a word. And he said, I forgot what the vision, I forgot just how the thing happened now. But the Lord showed me great great catastrophe in the earth. And he said to me, the Spirit said to me, when you see these things come to pass, go immediately to your prayer closet. And the Lord spoke to me and said, go immediately to your prayer closet, and I'll meet you there. And I will give you immunity over all of these things that come upon the earth. You can go over them, under them, through them, whatever, but they can by no means hurt you. I give you total immunity. And I thought, it's a tidal wave. I don't know how come you to think a tidal wave. And cities were being destroyed. And I think they were on the sea shores. And I may have assumed that it was a tidal wave. It could have been any kind of blast. But, you know, an atomic blast would set off tidal waves. And I seen whole cities. I didn't recognize the cities, but I seen whole cities just washed away like they were toys. And the Lord said to me, you will have immunity. This is the unfolding of the sons of God will have taken place. And we will be securing the woman in the wilderness, which is the church. 12th chapter of Revelation. Everybody familiar with that? 12th chapter of Revelation. The woman goes into the wilderness where the sons of God take care of her for 3.5 years or so. Where she brings forth the bride. You see, you see the wedding. Somebody said, when's the wedding supper? Well, don't worry about the wedding supper. It's over in the next age. It's beyond this age into the next one. Of course, that don't have to be so far away. It could be just a few years from now. But I used to preach for a decision. And I used to, in making my appeal, I'd say the bride says, come, and the Spirit says, come. Little did I know that the bride had never uttered her voice. Hallelujah. Amen. And she is not yet mature enough to utter her voice. But on that day, when we gather for the marriage supper of the Lamb, then she will send out the invitations. And the bride will say, come. And the Spirit will say, come. And the sons of God, all the guests at this beautiful wedding supper. And we'll go out to the gates of Jerusalem. I'm speaking to you by the Spirit now. And we'll swing open the gates of Jerusalem, never to be closed again, by day or by night. And the bride's invitation will ring out the words, come. And the Spirit will say, come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we will have come to God. And we will have been coming to God for all of these years. Oh, the consummation of all things is very near at hand. Now, if you turn over to, and I'm going to wind down here now, but if you turn over to the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, I'll show you here just briefly. And I'm going to show you just a few verses of Scripture that you won't commit to your memory here. In the 20th chapter and verse 1, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit, great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. That's this company that rises up and casts him out. This is a projection that Jesus made in chapter 10 of Luke. And the angel here is ministry. The word angel means messenger. And it is probably not just one, but it is a company of them. And they bound the old Satan dragon for 1,000 years. And that 1,000 years will be called the millennial reign. We used to call it the millennial reign. It is a kingdom age. It is a kingdom dispensation. And it is the seventh dispensation. And in this dispensation, God will complete pouring out his life into us in its fullness. And this will complete the seven dispensations. Nebuchadnezzar was turned out to act like a beast until seven times passed over him. And when seven times passed over him, he opened his eyes and beheld the majesty of the Lord. And when seven times passes over us, you know what's going to happen? We're going to enter into another new dispensation called the dispensation let's see, in Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll read it. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that's the seven dispensations, and when we have finished this dispensation, you know what we're going to do? We look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. For the first time ever since Adam sinned, the world will have been completely eradicated of any fault, any sin. And the ministry of the eradication will take place by the ministry and through the ministry of the sons of God. And we'll enter into the new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. It is only an insertion. Only an insertion. It is a tremendous reinsertion of time into eternity. You don't want to miss this. Don't miss this. If you miss the first resurrection, you're going to have a lot of problems getting to God. You're still going to get to Him, but I'm not saying everybody's not going to get to Him in peace. Only those that will receive Him. You know, there are those that teach it the other way, but if you don't come to Jesus, you can't ever be saved. Not in this life, for the world to come, or the next one, or if there be another one, not in that one either. If you won't accept Jesus, there's not another sacrifice given. The Word became flesh. God has been busy. Oh, what has God been trying to do? He has been busy revealing Himself, hadn't He? Has He been busy revealing Himself to us? And listen to this. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27, all things are delivered unto me, said Jesus, of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Forever God has been saying through this book, know me. I want you to know me. I'm not trying to hide from you. Sometimes it appears that he tries to hide in here, doesn't he? But he's not trying to hide. It is never meant to veil him. It is meant to unveil him. It is to reveal him. But God, we couldn't understand God. God wanted to tell the Israelites how much He loved them. He shook Mount Sinai until they had a rock slide, and then a hurricane, and the thunders, and they misunderstood it altogether. Hallelujah. Amen. God was only telling them what a safe keeper He was of them. But they couldn't understand it that way. Somehow or another, I have to communicate with humanity, God is saying to Himself in this era. And Jesus said, the Son said, I'll go. And the Word became flesh and dwelled among men. I tell you, have you ever contemplated that? The Word became flesh and dwelled among men. I tell you what it means to me and how that it was driven home to me in my memory. When I was 6 years old, I started school at Beckville, where I live now. And back then, you know, we just did the arithmetic, or they call it mathematics now, and read, you know, and spell a little bit. Learn our ABCs first year. Learn how to print our name first year. I think we learned maybe a multiplication table. Up to maybe four times or so, I don't know. I was kind of sharp for, you know, in the mathematics. Yeah, well, in all of it, but mathematics especially. Well, that, I don't know if I was sharper in mathematics, but a lot of them were slow there anyway. Well, anyhow, by the time I was in second grade, the teacher, we had big classes then, the teacher let me help. You know, help her. Good, you know, I knew what 2 times 2 was. And most of them didn't. And so, you know, I was right proud of all of my intelligence here. And so, the whole thing was going good. 2 whole years of it already gone. Only got 10 to go, see? And we went back for the third grade. And you had to go through the office and get your books and then come to your room. And man, they give us an armful of books in the third grade. And they give us, we get a geography and we get this arithmetic book they call arithmetic at that time. And the first problem in it was a division. And I never forget it. It was 6 divided by 2. Well, now, I mean, for a second grade graduate that knows that 2 and 2 is 4, and 4 minus 2 is 2, and I knew that. But I knew that was subtraction. And I knew that 2 plus 2 is 4, and that's addition. But I ain't heard there be no division. So, and you know, I'm trying to get ready to help the teacher. But that's no problem, because in the front of the book, there's 5 pages that tells you how to do that problem. So I just read the instructions. And when I read the instructions, I just thought I was confused a while ago. Now I'm really confused. So I read them again. And the more I read them, the more confused I got. And the teacher finally sees that I'm in a state of confusion and desperation, so she comes around to me, and we're sitting in my old-time desk. I sat here like this at the desk, and she says, "What's the matter, Jack?" And I said, I didn't want everybody to hear it, but I said, "I don't understand this." And she said, "Well, did you read the instructions?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." "And you still don't understand it?" And I said, "No, ma'am." And she said, "Well, it's division, Jack. It's, subtracting and adding. Now, this is division." And I said, "Well, all right, I don't understand it." And she said, "Scoot over, son." And I scooted over, and she sat down beside me, put her arm over my shoulder, and said, "Now, Jack, here it is." She just skipped her preliminaries and 5 introduction sheets, because I already can't understand that. And she gets right to it. She said, "The problem is 6, and it's divided by 2. Now, I believe you know that." No, ma'am, I don't understand that." She said, "Well, all right." She said, "Let's see, Jack, y'all farm out at your place, don't you?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She says, "How many, y'all farm with mules?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "How many mules take to make a team?" And I said, 2. She said, "Well, now, Jack, if I had 6 mules in your corral, how many teams would I have?" And I said, 3. I got it. The arithmetic, the division became flesh and sat down beside me and handled me. And we dispensed with all the preliminaries, all the explanations that I couldn't understand. And this teacher, this problem just became flesh. And she put it, you know, she laid it out there where I could communicate with that. We communicated. That's what Jesus did when he come. See, God couldn't communicate with humanity. All of the dark sayings in the Old Testament just left people confused to a broad state. You know, sometimes it still does us. And God would thunder at them, and they just still more confused. And the prophets would prophesy, carriages jostling together in the streets, and everybody just confused. The prophets would talk about a day star, and everybody don't know what a day star is. They want a daysman. Oh, and what a state of confusion it was. And then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men. And we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I tell you, God communicated with us through His Son. When His Son took on an identity like ours, and He talked to us. And if the disciples didn't understand what He said, they asked Him about it, didn't they? But if you read in the Old Testament and you don't understand what it says, what can you do? What recourse do you have? Go back and read it again. And then what recourse? Read it again. And you may never come to an understanding. But when the Word became flesh, now we can understand that, can't we? That's what Jesus did for us. That's how bad and how determined God is to unveil Himself to us. That's how determined God is to unveil the blessed sons of God so that the world can communicate with God through His sons. Oh, hallelujah. That's sonship as I know it. That's sonship as I breathe it. I live it, breathe it, sleep it. It's my life. At sonship. I must attain unto the price. There's a mark with the price, the high calling in Christ Jesus. I must not settle for less. Do you know how to get there? Everybody that's Spirit-filled is a candidate. I have declared my candidacy all over the world. Now, what shall I do now? Make my election and calling sure. That if we come to Zion, we'll come with everlasting joy on our heads. We'll be those that follow the Lamb whithersoever He went, whithersoever He goeth. And we will, Saviors will come upon Mount Zion. That's the sons of God. Hallelujah. The manifestation of the sons of God is our only hope. It's the hope of the creature, the whole creation. I tell you it is. Oh, praise the wonderful Lord. Can you see that? I trust that we have not, that you see some of the things that we've shared with you tonight. I pray to Thee, Heavenly Father, that if I've said anything that was just folly or untrue, just let us erase it from our minds. But for all that I've said that will be profitable from now throughout eternity, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll seal it to the minds of this people, to the hearts of this people that have given me such consideration and kindness tonight. I invoke choice blessings on Brother Glenn and Irma and Patty and Kevin Lord and all the staff here at Camp Hamilton. I invoke the choicest blessings from heaven for them. Not only this night, but the days to come. When they're just around here and things kindly become, I suppose, routine, I'm invoking choice blessings for them now, right from heaven. I invoke for this people that are under the sound of my voice, the choicest blessings from heaven tonight. May the Lord of glory shine on your pathway. For it is God's will and God's way. Hallelujah. Oh, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, may Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then had the streams overwhelmed us, and the waters had passed over us, and the proud waters had gone over our souls. But thanks be to God, He didn't give us a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Praise the lovely, lovely, lovely Lord Jesus for His wonderful goodness toward us.
Oh, thank the Lord. Deep calls to deep. Deep is unfolding in the depth of your spirit even now. Yea, profound truth is taking root. It's beginning to come alive in your spirit even now. I tell you, my people, that you will never quite be the same again. Yea, and the change is to the better. It is a good change, saith the Lord. Yea, seek that you may be changed. For have you not read that I'll change you from glory to glory, from faith to faith, and everyone in Zion will appear before my presence, saith the Lord. Yea, a special people to me, saith the Lord, hath gathered. Yea, and I have given to you a word. Yea, I have caused the servant of the Lord to speak words of deep truth. Yea, and I have examined the heart and know that it is motivated by only the Spirit of the Almighty. Yea, and that this the prophet that projects to you tonight will never do you any harm, but he will do you good. Yea, for the Lord hath called, and the prophet has answered. Yea, I speak only that I hear. Yea, I speak not until I hear. I wouldn't speak at all except that I'm called. Yea, for the Lord liveth. Blessed be the Lord. I see the angel of the Lord is ministering tonight. The angel of the Lord is over in this area right here. I seen the angel of the Lord right here. I am reminded of a passage here. I could quote it, but I think I'll read it to you, my sister, and you, my sister. These two sisters here, both are, if they don't mind my saying so, they are elderly sisters. And let me say while I'm turning you go ahead and turn to the 19th chapter of Leviticus, if you will, and just let me project this projection. This is also a scripture. I've seen the angel of the Lord over this lady for since you came to the platform tonight. And then when you came back and sat down, the angel of the Lord has been over you several times. And then this sister, did you go to the front? She went to the front? Yes. I've seen the angel of the Lord with you. And while I've been standing here preaching, I have seen the angel of the Lord come between y'all, hovering, as if in a protective measure. And I know that the Lord wants me to minister to you. I say that those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. And this will show that the Lord's good. And in Him there is no unrighteousness at all. That's a prophetic projection that I make. I believe it's also a scripture, but here's a scripture that the Lord laid out to me, I feel, from the angel of the Lord, and it reads like this from the 9th verse, and in the 19th chapter of Leviticus, and it says, "When you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners," W-H-O-L-L-Y, "you shall not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God." Now, if I may interpret that under the anointing of the Spirit, I know that you are not doing grapes. And you're not raising cotton, and you don't have a harvest field out there of these things. But the Lord is speaking by the Spirit, and He says that you are. I tell you now, the Lord says, that I'm pouring into you a measure of anointing, yea, that is more. I'm filling up your cup. No, not only am I filling up your cup, but I'm running it over, saith the Lord God. Yea, you shall not just glean enough for your own survival, but you shall glean enough to have some left over for the wayfarer, yea, for the stranger, yea, for they that have failed to gather in, saith the Lord. Yea, this is the meaning of this scripture, that you do not use all that the Lord gives you. You don't use it on your own self, but you leave the corners, the short rows, we say, and don't pick the short rows. Just leave some. And I tell you the truth, that those that live, that have lived with you, and live and may live beyond you in this life and in this time, will glean from your fields for years to come, should time be stretched into this potential, saith the Lord. You have this potential. Don't slack your pace, for the king's business is a business of urgency, and you must be in haste, saith the Lord. Oh, thank God forever. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. Oh, praise the wonderful name of Jesus. Thank God forever. Thank God forever. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the wonderful name of Jesus, and his wonderful goodness is ever amazes me. Ever. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This young man on the front here on my left, you, brother, get his attention there, will you? Yeah, you?
Mm-hmm.
I see the angel of the Lord with you. And I see a hungering in your heart. Yeah, and you're wanting to, you, I see a desire in your heart to know more of God. I tell you, saith the Lord, that God says he's going to give an unveiling and unveil, reveal more of himself to you. And if you'll follow on to know the Lord, the potential is very great. Great things can await you and will await you. I tell you, if you will follow on to know the Lord and seek him diligently, I shall give another word, a further word to you. Prophets shall speak to you. Apostles shall come, lay hands on you, and project your life, saith the Lord. Yea, just seek the Lord for a short time. It won't be long until you'll receive another word from the Lord. And with this word will come direction. I see a potential in your life for God to use you. If you be willing to be used of God, God will fashion your heart toward him, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the wonderful name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see the angel of the Lord all over the house tonight. And it's been such a beautiful day of deliverance and ministry that I am kindly feeling the Lord out here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, thank the Lord now. Thank you forever, Lord. You're gracious and good to us. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I believe I'll just close here with a prayer, if I may. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, again, it's been a privilege. Oh, God, it's been such a good day, Lord. My Lord, I have enjoyed ministering, but I tell you the truth, I have enjoyed ministry. The ministry of this, my brother, that I just met on this occasion here, Lord, he thrills me with his ministry, with his disposition, personality, and I've just been thrilled by making his acquaintance, Lord. And these singers and musicians, Lord, that have made us so joyful. My Lord, and showed us such a great time. In the spirit, O Lord, we've rejoiced around these altars, if there be altars around this front, O Lord. Look at Brother Doc, Lord, and he has a special place in my heart. I think he's a very unusual man. Unusual inasmuch as maybe all of God's people are unusual, but he has an unusual dedication that I sure appreciate. He has an unusual discernment that I discern in him, and an unusual ministry of deliverance. I suppose that he has helped a lot of people in his in his natural profession. I know that he has helped a lot in this spiritual profession. I thank the Lord for Brother Glenn that directs these services so well. Seems to always have the mind of the Lord and just gets everything to flowing so beautiful. And the control that he has, the spirit given, Lord. People won't help Brother Glenn. He finds favor, Lord. And Herman, all the staff here, Lord. I tell you, Lord, I shall be grateful for a long time throughout this age, and perhaps no telling how much further. I'll still be giving you thanks, Lord, and being grateful for Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Lord. I believe that many people will ever be with us that will be testifying of things that happened to them that was good here at Lake Hamilton. I know of many good things and hardly any bad things at all that has happened here, Lord. It's all been good to me. It's all been gracious and good, and just the glory of the Lord enshrouds us. I firmly believe, I am thoroughly convinced, that the Shekinah glory of your presence rests over this camp. In Jesus' name tonight, we thank you for the privilege of ministering to such a great people that have come from so many places and gathered together and have shown such great courtesy toward us, O Lord, and great love and fellowship, Lord. I tell you, Lord, if I had a lot of choices again, I'd still choose to come this way. Thank you, Lord, for this another night in my life and in the lives of this people. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Brother Glenn. Let's all stand together and give the Lord a great big praise offering, and we'll be back in the morning.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.